anymore. So you wake up and you're hurting, you know, and you know, Jonah over there just rocking it out and beating us all old men and stuff. But we did okay, right? We did all right. So what do we play? Cornhole and softball and football and all that stuff. So goodness, 39 years old, you start to feel that after a little bit, don't we? So hey, so if you're joining us online, don't forget you can print off those bulletins. I mean, the sermon notes and connection cards on there, and you guys have those in your bulletins here today. It's so good to be together as we just study God's word and see what He teaches us about the church and about the local church. And so that's what we're doing. We're walking through a 5-week series focusing on the local church and answering some of the questions of why do we do what we do. And so we're looking to the Bible to answer some questions about the church and the local church. Sometimes we like to look at our preferences, or we look at our traditions, or what our church does or doesn't do. But we want to look to the Word of God, because it's that that teaches us. Amen, church. It's that gives us the truth. And so we're looking at things like, what is baptism and why do we do it? Why do we get baptized after we're saved? And why do we take the Lord's Supper? And what do we remember when we take that? Why do we give? Why do we serve? And how are we to live as the body of Christ? And so we've got 2 more weeks after today. 2 weeks ago, baptism, this week, the Lord's Supper. And if you missed either one of those, I'd encourage you to jump on to the website and watch those sermons. So this week, we're going to look to God's Word to answer our third question, and that's this: what does the Bible teach us about giving, right? Especially as Christians in the local church, why do we give? This is always an interesting topic, and it's a lot of times where a pastor will bring in a guest pastor to preach on, right? It's like, hey, we're going to talk about giving today. Let's have you preach, or maybe, you know, the associate pastor or something. But it's an interesting topic to talk about, not just in the church, but just in our lives in general. We just don't like to talk about it. It can make us uncomfortable. We don't like to talk about money. We don't like to talk about giving, being good stewards, right? It can make us, maybe it's too personal, but here's the interesting thing. As Jesus followers, we look to the Word of God, and money, resources, and how we handle them is all over the Bible. Right? It is. It's all over the Bible. It's all over the New Testament. It's all over the Old Testament. And in fact, when we look at the New Testament, it is mentioned on being stewardship or money and what we do with that. It's mentioned almost as any other topic in the New Testament. I think God wants us to talk about it, right? And so if it makes you feel any better, like, I'm going to try to, you know, loosen up about it a little bit. But as Christians, we've got the Word of God in our hands. We know that it's God-breathed. We know that it's true. It's good for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy 3. And so as we open up the Word of God this morning, even in the area of money and our resources and finances, we can trust God. We can trust what He teaches us. Are we good this morning? That sound all right? Okay. Let's see what God's Word says about giving and giving generously. For the first 25 years of my life, I was a part of one church, Antioch Bible Baptist Church. That's where I grew up, still have a relationship with them. We go there when we go back to Kansas City, and I was there for 25 years until God called us into vocational ministry to be a pastor. And I will be forever grateful for that church. I'm still grateful for that church, and really in all areas, but really in this area of how they lived out and still live out being generous as givers. As a young boy, I got to witness my parents and learn from them in the area of generous giving and tithing and giving to the church and giving to organizations as they trusted God and gave. I was able to see how the church that I grew up in, how they were able to serve the needs of the community, right? I think Authentic Life could say if we weren't here, the community would miss us. We want that, right? We want to be a church not only in the community, but for the community. And so, man, that's something that I learned really well there at that church, to be able to serve the needs of the community, to be able to help those in need right here within the church family, within our body right here at Authentic Life. And it's because of the generous giving of God's people at the church I grew up in that I was able to see how the church used those resources. They used them to meet needs, to teach, to worship, to disciple, to gather, to provide resources, to provide Bibles, to share the gospel, right? To give towards missions all over the world. As of this week, that church that I grew up in, as of this week, and God's just really done some great things in that church. 57 years old, 2 senior pastors the entire time. Isn't that crazy? Like, that's just unheard of. But here's, as of this past week, they're supporting a total of 84 missionaries, organizations, ministries, and church plants. It's just crazy. In fact, when God called us to move to Tucson to plant Authentic Life Church, they said, hey, we want to be a part of that. We want to be a part of Tucson hearing the gospel and knowing Christ and following Jesus. They wanted to come alongside and support Authentic Life Church. In fact, they were one of our first supporters, and they've supported this church ever since with prayer, with resources. They've supported us financially. And here's the thing, it's not just Antioch, right? It's not just here, it's happening all over the world, right? Where churches are saying, yes, I want to be a part of, or people in the church saying, I want to be a part of what God is doing. And so we give. Here's the reality though, we need to understand. God doesn't need our money, right? We can get that. Are you guys with me? God doesn't need our money, but he uses us to give toward what he's doing all throughout the world. Think about our church. Through the generous giving of those here on Authentic Life Church, God has used us to be a part of serving and loving and meeting needs of our community. We were able to do that this past week. We had some phone calls of people that were in deep needs in our community, and we were able to come alongside and help them. People giving generously were able to share the gospel, and we're able to gather and meet and provide resources and do, you know, pastoral and biblical counseling and just really teach and help people grow and to give towards missions and support those that are fighting in the trenches for the sanctity of life and other organizations. Are you with me, church? Like, because of your guys's, because of our generous giving, we've been able to do that. And so being able to give of not just our money, but our time, our resources, our talents, our finances is what God is calling us to do. I know we don't like to talk about it, but God is calling us to do that. And so this morning, I'm not going to take us through the history of tithing, right? We're not going to do that today. But what we're going to do is we're going to look at the heart of what it means for God's people to give and give generously, and look at why we give and how we give and what our model of giving within the church should look like. And so when we walk through this, we want to think about giving within the context of our lives as Christians, but then corporately right here at Authentic Life. So grab your Bibles. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 is where we're going to be at this morning. If you don't have a Bible, we can give you one after church, and the words will be up on the screen as well. But 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9 is said to provide the richest, most detailed model of Christian giving in the New Testament. And Paul is going to address a particular need with one particular church, but in it, we're going to see the heart of generous giving by Jesus followers in the local church and then through other churches as well. So if you guys would help me out, if you guys are online, let's stand together, stand here together to honor God and his word. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 through 15. All right. Here's what God's word teaches us this morning. Paul writes this, we want you to know, he's writing to the church in Corinth, we want you to know, brothers and sisters, about the grace of God that was given to the churches of Macedonia. During a severe trial brought about by affliction, their abundant joy and their extreme poverty overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. I can testify that according to their ability and even beyond their ability of their own accord, they begged us earnestly for the privilege of sharing in the ministry of the saints. And not just as we had hoped, instead they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us by God's will. So we urge Titus that just as he had begun, that he should also complete among you this act of grace. Now as you excel in everything, in faith, speech, knowledge, and in all diligence, and in love for us, excel also in the act of grace, in this act of grace. I'm not saying this is a command. Rather, by means of diligence of others, I am testing the genuineness of your love. Verse 9, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, for your sake he became poor, so that by his poverty you might become rich. And in this matter I'm giving advice because it is profitable for you, who began last year not only to do something, but also to want to do it. Now also finish the task so that just as there was an eager desire, there may also be completion according to what you have. For if the eagerness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. It is not that there should be relief for others and hardship for you, but is a question of equality. At the present time, your surplus is available for their need, so that their abundance may in turn meet your need, in order that there may be equality. Verse 15, as it is written, the person who had much did not have too much, and the person who had little did not have too little. Let's pray. Father, we love you. And God, we're grateful for our time together where we can open up the Word of God, even in a tough subject like money and resources. And we can just trust you in that. It's not about what I say. It's not about what anybody says. It's about what you say. and what you lead our heart to do. And so, God, I pray, Lord, that this morning that we would be attentive to you, we would be responsive to you, we would have an open heart and let you speak to us and set aside any of our thoughts that don't line up with yours. So, God, be glorified today. Help us walk out of here more like you than when we came in. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. All right. So here's what's happening. Paul is writing to the church in Corinth. We looked at them last week when we were talking about the Lord's Supper. And so we're in the second letter that he sent. And he's writing to them. And he's talking about their giving towards particular needs in Jerusalem, right? In Jerusalem, there were great needs coming out of the people of God and the church there. And so we don't know what their specific needs were, but we do know is that there was a church there. There's a group of Christians that were struggling, they were suffering in Jerusalem, and they needed other Christians' help. And other churches that were in the area and abroad, they saw the need. They made commitment to come alongside that other church, alongside those Christians, and help them and to collect a continual offering for them. So this wasn't going to be like a one-time gift offering, right? We kind of, sometimes we do that, we pass the plate. We did that with Lottie Moon. We did it for a month, right? We pass the plate and we meet a need that way. This was going to be a continual need for this church. And Corinth, they had plenty, right? They were more wealthy, they were more affluent, they were not in need. And they had originally made a commitment to give to this church in need. And guys, it doesn't sound like they just got, you know, prideful and just completely stopped. But when we look at the text, it appears as though they had slowed down, right? They had lost a little bit of that commitment. They weren't as committed. They were given a little bit less or maybe less often. I think when we think about that, that's more human nature than we want to admit to, right? We can listen, you can go to a church and you can hear a missionary speak and he said, hey, I'm going to need your help maybe for 5 years or whatever it may be. And we get excited about it. We want to be a part of that. And then maybe after year two, we give a little bit less. And then at year three, we're maybe sending a letter. And maybe year five, we're praying for him once a year or something like that. And I think that's just kind of human nature. Or maybe you want to be involved with a foster agency or an agency that helps the poor and you do that originally. I just think it's human nature for us to kind of dwindle down and lose passion, even in the church, right? When we think about church and we think about giving towards missions or we think about tithing, we can make that commitment to the Lord to give and to give generously. And then over time, we lose focus, right? We slow down. We get a little less excited. Just think it's human nature, guys. And Paul is encouraging them. This is really more of a last week we looked at he was kind of rebuking them a little bit, kind of getting all up in their grill and saying, knock it off, right? This week I think it's a little bit more loving in his approach, and he's encouraging them to continue to give, to be a part of what God is doing in Jerusalem with that church there. And in the first few verses of our text today, Paul points out, he's pointing out the Macedonian churches. There's a group of churches, about three or four churches there in the Macedonian area, and he's going to use them as an example. And he lays out how they're giving, and he doesn't talk about how much they're giving, but how they're giving and the heart and the passion behind their giving, and he's encouraging Corinth to do the same. There's some big differences between Corinth and Macedonia, right? Corinth was wealthy. They had a lot. They weren't struggling. The churches in Macedonia were not, right? Because they were the opposite. They didn't have much. They were currently walking through a great deal of persecution and affliction and hardship. They didn't have a lot of money. They were taxed greatly. But Paul points out how generous they were in the midst of all that, right? They were giving to be a part of what God was doing in Jerusalem. And so he's using them as an example when it comes to why they should give and the heart behind it. And then he's going to teach them as well and lay out ways for them to give, which we'll cover at the very end. And so for this morning, what I'd like for us to do is to walk through this passage and to see what it looks like for you and me as God's people, as followers of Jesus and our church, to give and to give generously toward the heart and the mission of Jesus. So by looking at what Paul says about the Macedonian churches and the instruction he gives, we're going to have five takeaways concerning generous giving by God's people. You guys ready? You're good? All right. So when we think about why we give and why we give generously as the church and as God's people, the first takeaway is this. We give generously because God's grace leaves us to give generously. We sing about that twice this morning already, just the grace of God. God's grace leads you and me to give generously. In fact, I think we can even zoom out a little bit and not just looking at giving, you know, financially or of our resources, but I think God's grace leads us to give generously in all areas of our life, right? His grace should really bring us to a posture of generosity with our time, with our resources, with our abilities, our talents. This is a heart that leads us to give of ourselves or of what we have for the sake of someone else or something else. We look at our time, right? We all know that time is precious. For many years, one of the top questions, you'd go to Walmart, you'd go through the cashier, right? And they would, well, they don't really have those anymore, right? You just do it all yourself. We don't get paid for that, do we? By the way, I don't really like those. I want to talk to the people. Anybody with me? Like, I just thank you, man. I'm telling you, man, I just want to talk with people. I just stay away from those things, man. I want them to hire someone so that I can go there. And my wife always gets mad at me because when I go through the line, well, she makes fun of me, really, because if their person's not smiling, I won't leave until they do, right? I'm just going to sit there and I'm going to talk to them. And I know, man, I'm messed up, but I like it. I want people to smile, right? But they will ask the question, how you doing? They don't really want to know how you're doing. They just want you to say, okay, or I'm good, and then move on, right? So that used to be the number one question. I don't know where they come up with these surveys, but the question was, how are you doing, right? Or what's going on? You know, it was, I'm good. You know what the number one answer is right now, and it has been for the last few years? I'm busy. I'm busy, right? Time is precious. We're all busy, but people in this church body, by the way, people right here at Authentic Life Church continually give of their time. Just give a couple examples of how they do that. There are a group of people that live this out even here this morning. Some are generous with their time, and they get here at 7 o'clock in the morning to help set up. Others give of their time generously to read and study and prepare so that our kiddos and kids' life can know more about Jesus, right? Others generously give of their talents and their abilities to welcome people here at Authentic Life Church or to lead us in worship as we saw this morning. And this is also lived out as people give generously of their finances, right? Through tithes and special offerings or occasions. Man, I'll tell you what, whenever we have a need within the church and we say, hey, church, we need this need met, man, it's always gone above and beyond what we've looked for. Last year, we weren't able to do it in 2020, but in 2019, man, we adopted the food bank, and we broke our goal three times, right? It was just good, man. And so, man, we've been doing that as a church. Lottie Moon, man, this is money that we collected during the month of December that went directly into the pockets of missionaries throughout the world so that they could tell people about Jesus, so they could pay their own bills, so they can get food, right? So they can buy what they need. It went directly into their hands, and our church, I think, tripled what I had set as a goal. And so it's just crazy. Philippians 2 says this. This is for us. If you're a Christian today, do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind. Regard one another as more important than yourselves. Christ exampled that, and we're to live that out. When we do that, when we see each other as more important, it leads us to be generous in every area of our life with them. So where does this generosity come from? Because I'm going to tell you, it's not human nature, right? It comes from the grace of God. That's where it comes from. When we know and see and experience God's grace in our life, it should flow out of us, right? And we see it here in the Macedonian churches. Look at this, verse 1. Paul writes to them. He says, we want you to know, brothers and sisters, about the grace of God that was given to the churches of Macedonia. Paul's not using Macedonia. He's not putting them on a pedestal and saying, hey, they're rocking it out, right? They're the ones you should look at. Paul is highlighting God and his grace and what he's given to that church. The word, the Greek word for grace is keres. Can you say that? Can you roll your tongue a little bit? Right? Keres. Right? And that's the word grace. And it's God giving us joy, pleasure, delight, sweetness, charm, and loveliness. It is God's will given to us. It is his loving kindness given to us. It is his favor given to us. And he gave that when we deserved nothing. Do you get that? Like, when we deserved nothing, he gave. Think about this spiritually. When we were yet sinners, when you and I deserved nothing good at all, God gave. Everything that you and I have is out of God's grace. It's out of his provision. He alone is the provider of all we have. He doesn't have to give us anything. Right? But he gives us our job, he gives us our home, he gives us our clothes, he gives us our resources, he gives us the ability. Right? Sometimes we think, you know what? I don't really want to get because I worked really, really, really hard for this. Man, I earned what I have, and that's probably true. It's probably true. Let's not sidestep that. It's probably true. But here's the big picture. We have the ability to work. We have the ability to think and learn and do and process. We have the ability to do what we do because of God's grace. He gave you and me those abilities, right? If you're an engineer, he gave you the ability to think like that, right? If you like Legos, he gave you the joy to do that, right? JL, man, just, that's the Lego guy, right? And so are you with me, church? Like, he does that. I get sidetracked, man. I'm just telling you. And then when we think about, he gives us our abilities. When we think about what we have, here's what David writes in Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and all it contains. Everything here is God's. Job 95, God says, whatever is under the whole heaven is mine. So all the abilities you have, the talents you have, they are from God. All the resources and money you have, all the things we have, they belong to the Lord. We have them because of his grace. Then we think about it even a bigger picture, right? We think about eternity and we think about spirituality, right? When we deserved to be separated from God, Ephesians 2 says that we were saved. If anybody has sinned today, you didn't deserve anything from God. And guess what? More than likely, all of us have sinned today, right? I mean, it's just kind of, but he rescued us. When we deserve to be separated from God, he made it possible for us to be saved. We're saved. I need you guys to hear me say this online. Man, we are saved not because we're good people. We're not, right? When you put us next to a holy God, we look pretty filthy, amen, right? So we are saved not because we're good people, not because we earned heaven. Not because our good outweighs our bad. If you've been taught that, I'm just telling you, it's just not true. I've read the entire Bible. It's not in there anywhere, right? We're rescued from sin. We're rescued from our punishment. We're rescued from hell because of God's grace. We are saved and brought into the family of God when we turn to Jesus, and we get to spend eternity with him in heaven because God loves us and he made it possible. And so when we repent, we turn to Jesus, it's by his grace alone that we're rescued. A.W. Tozer says this. He says, everything God does is by grace. No man, no creature deserves anything. That's hard to swallow, isn't it? But it's true. And then he says, salvation is by grace alone. All that God does flows out of grace. And so these churches in Macedonia, they heard the message of Jesus because of God's grace. They were saved when they turned to Christ by God's grace. They were brought into the family of God. They were able to be used by God because of God's grace. And so because of his grace, they had a good view of who God was, and his grace and church, it overwhelmed them. If you pause for 5 seconds in your life and you think about God's grace, it will overwhelm you. Probably doesn't even take 5 seconds, right? It caused them, it motivated them as a church to say, I want to be used by God. It motivated them to give and to give generously so that others could hear about Jesus and grow and have their needs met. We have what we have in our homes, in our lives, in our pockets. Our church is alive today because of God's grace. All that should motivate us. His grace should motivate us and lead us to want to be used by God. It should motivate us and lead us to give generously so that we can be a part of what God is doing and to meet needs of others, and so that others can hear of Jesus and know him. So they received God's grace. The Macedonian church received God's grace, and then here's what it led them to do. They received the grace, and then verse 2, during a severe trial brought on by affliction. So they're going through just affliction. They're going through a hard time, right? They're abundant joy and their extreme poverty overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. Paul says, I can testify that according to their ability and even beyond their ability of their own accord, they gave beyond what they could because they trusted God. They begged us earnestly for the privilege of sharing in the ministry to the saints. And not just as we had hoped, instead they gave themselves first to the Lord and then to us by God's will. Look at this, church. Because of who God is, because of Jesus, because of his grace in their life, it led them to give generously. The Macedonians, this isn't in your notes, but you can write it down. The Macedonians gave sacrificially, they gave willingly, they gave eagerly, and they gave obediently. Church, they begged Paul to be a part of giving, right? They wanted to give. I can kind of imagine Paul sitting there and saying, man, you guys are going through a hard time, right? You might need giving yourself, right? And they said, no, Paul, we want to be a part of it. We want to do it. They were eager. They didn't have much, but they found ways to give more because of God's grace. They so badly wanted to be a part of what God was doing. They wanted others to experience what they had experienced. Now, here's the reality. When money was counted at the end of the day, even when Corinth was giving a little bit and Macedonia was giving all they could and more, Corinth was still going to give more. It's just the reality. But the Macedonians, if we think about it, they were the goat in giving, right? The greatest of all time. Right? They were the goat in giving. Why? Because they gave sacrificially. It hurt them to give, but they eagerly, they wanted to give. Why? They knew God would take care of them. They knew God would provide for them. Church, we tithe, we give towards missions, we give generously towards organizations because the grace of God that was given to us. So because each of us have received God's grace, by the way, if you're here today, you have received God's grace, and 1 ounce of His grace should cause us to give more than we could ever give. And because we've received His grace, we should respond by living generously and giving generously in all areas of our life. These churches trusted in Jesus and in His mission. They removed barriers so that they could give and allow God's grace to overflow out of them. Us living and giving generously is God's grace and His goodness and His sweetness flowing out of us towards others. That's what it is. Those in these churches, they trusted God more than they trusted money. Church, their security, we've been through a pretty uncertain time, right? Their security wasn't in what they had, but in whose they were. Let me say that again. Their security was not in what they had, but in whose they were after experiencing God's grace. One of my favorite passages out of Psalm 63, David's being hunted down by his son to kill him. He's out there in the middle of the desert, doesn't hardly have anything, and he says, guys, I'm good. I'm good. Because God's loving kindness is better than life itself. Right? That's what they're saying here. If we've experienced God's grace, and we have, that should be evident in our life as we give of ourselves generously. The next thing we see is this. Generous giving is evidence of growing faith. First note was about where that giving comes from. This one is what does that give evidence of? It gives evidence that we're growing to be more like Jesus. How we live and give generously reveals what God is doing in you. I'm not just talking money. I'm talking in all areas of our life. How we give of our time, how we give of our resources, how we give of our talents is evidence of us growing or not growing to be more like Jesus. It shows where our eyes are. It shows where our priorities are. Are we seeing things as Jesus sees them? Are we pursuing Him and His mission? Are we loving as He calls us to love? Or are we not worried about that and just pursuing the American dream? By the way, if that's where you're at today, if you're struggling with that, pursuing the American dream, by the way, there's nothing wrong with having money. Let's just make that clear. Amen, church? There's nothing wrong with that. God provides it. There's a book, Radical, by David Platt that addresses that area of our life of where our hearts should be focused instead of on money. But our generosity is evidence of, are we seeing things and pursuing what Jesus wants us to? Look at what Paul says in verse 7 to the church in Corinth. He's talking about their life spiritually. He says, now as you excel in everything, right, as you pursue and grow and pursue everything in faith, speech, knowledge, and in all diligence and in your love for us, excel also in this act of grace. Paul is saying if you want to grow in your walk with Jesus, then you grow and you pursue His word and you grow in how you speak and you grow in how you love and you grow in your knowledge and don't forget to grow in your generosity in all areas of your life, right? He's saying it's to be part of your walk with Jesus. Growing in generosity is part of growing in our faith. If we're growing, that should grow as well. So church, here's the first two. Generous giving comes from us receiving God's grace. Generous giving is evidence of us growing to be more like Jesus. And the third is this. Generous giving is evidence of our love. It's evidence of our love. Look at what he says in verse 8. He says, I'm not saying this is a command. We'll come back to that. Rather, by means of the diligence of others, listen to what he says. I am testing the genuineness of your love. When he's encouraging them to give, their response, right? And what the response is, that's a test of the genuineness of their love. Think about the statement. Paul's saying this, that our love, your love, my love, is lived out and it is seen in our generosity toward God and toward others. Being generous with our time, resources, and talents. Here's what God is saying. If we're not generous, if we don't live generously, if we're not giving generously, it is evident that we are not loving deeply. That's kind of hard to swallow a little bit. As I wrote that out this past week, I was like, I know that's what it says. I don't know that I like that a whole lot because I love people really well, but I don't always like giving things, right? I don't always like doing that, right? But it's true. If we're not generous with how we live and how we give, it is evidence that we're not loving deeply. That's what Paul's saying. We can always grow in how we love God and love others, but our generosity gives evidence of our love. We give generously because we're recipients of God's grace, and we give because of our love for God and others. And so giving is about our love for God and others. Church, I think we need to pause and look at this. Notice what Paul says at the beginning of that verse. He says this, I'm not saying this as a command. I know there are religions. I know there are probably churches that sit down with you and say, if you want to be a part of our church, you have to give this much. I don't want to be any part of that. I heard a pastor share this morning. I heard this pastor share that with a church that he grew up in had like a fishing net type thing, and you kind of held it out, right? And you went around there. And here's what, he was honest. He was saying, this is what they did. They held the pole out there, right? And if you didn't give anything, they shook it, you know, and let it jingle a little bit. And then here's what they did. After that, the pastor would come by and say, hey, are you doing okay? Yeah, I'm fine, Pastor. Why? Well, we noticed that you didn't give this week. I don't want to have anything to do with that, right? Our generous giving is not out of compulsion. But I'm going to say something here. Ready? Are you ready? It's not out of compulsion. Us giving isn't about an obligation or being forced, but it should happen because we know Jesus. It should, right? If you're part of a church that says you can't be a part of unless you're tithing, probably not a great place to be at, right? Are you with me, church? I mean, if you're in leadership or something like that where you're in part of major decisions and stuff like that, if you're not giving, that might keep you from being. Are you with me? Yeah, we got to use wisdom at some point, right? When someone's not giving, they probably shouldn't oversee money. Amen? Okay, but it's not out of compulsion. It's not out of compulsion. In other words, it shouldn't be a command, because once we've experienced Jesus and his love and his grace, that love and grace should flow out back to God toward the church and towards others. It's not that we're told to do it. It's we should do it because we've experienced God's grace. Because of our relationship with Jesus, our love should flow out of us in the form of generosity with our time, with our resources, with our money, with our talents. It just should. So generous giving as Jesus followers comes from God's grace given to us. Generous giving is evidence of our growing to be more like Jesus, and it's evidence of our love for God and others. And then number four, when we think about generous giving, we should think about Jesus. Our model is not anybody else but Jesus. Amen, church, right? Jesus is our model of sacrificial giving. Why do I say sacrificial giving? Because generous giving is often sacrificial. When my parents taught me as a young person that when we make money, right? I started working when I was 13, right? We have a thing in Kansas City called snow, right? And we would shovel that, okay? It was this white stuff that's fluffy. And so, you know, sometimes it'd get this high, right? Maybe this high, right? But we would get out there and we'd shovel, we'd clean off the car. You actually had to go out there. You know, like in Tucson, we got to go turn our car on so it cools off, right? Man, you got to go get the ice off your car and everything. They also have this thing in Kansas City called grass. Okay, it's this green stuff, usually grows about, we like to keep it about this tall, but sometimes it'd grow more, right? And we would mow that. So when I was 13, we did that job. That's what I did. And my parents said, hey, man, because of God's grace, because God has given that to you, right? You should give that back to, right, to the Lord. And so Jesus is our model of sacrificial giving. And here's the thing, when we give, we're giving up of something, right? We are. As God's people, right, if we make $100 and I'm going to give $10 of that back to the Lord for whatever or however he leads me to do that, I only got 90 now, right? So we're sacrificing. It is, right? Jesus is our model of sacrificial giving. Look at verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this, church. Though he was rich. Now, we're just talking about money. Look at what Jesus gave up. When he was rich, he had everything. For your sake, he became poor, so that his poverty you might become rich. Now, let me make something very clear. We're not talking prosperity gospel. We're not saying that if you give $10, God's going to give you $30 back. You won't find that in the Bible. You won't. but he will give back to you. In fact, in Malachi chapter 3, I think, God says, test me in this. You give, I'll take care of you, right? We become rich. Man, we have eternal life through Jesus Christ, right? And in this matter, I'm giving advice because it's profitable for you. It's good for you, church, who began last year not only to do something, but you should also want to do it. Paul's encouraging them to continue to live generously and to give generous because Jesus was generous and willing. He's encouraging them to sacrifice because Jesus, as our model, sacrificed. And as Jesus followers, as Christians, his life is the life we pursue. Church, if there's no other reason to live and give generously, let this be it. Because Jesus, the one that we follow, lived it, modeled it, and calls us to it. He calls us to live a life of sacrifice. We don't talk about this a lot in churches anymore, do we? But Jesus says, deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. For the sake of Jesus, for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the lost, for the sake of the world. Our treasure is not to be in what this world offers. Our treasure is in heaven. And so we shouldn't compare ourselves to what others in this world have or give, and we shouldn't compare ourselves to what others in the church, right, other Christians have or give. But church, our example is Jesus, and he willingly and gladly gave up everything. And so, church, let us have a desire to gladly sacrifice to be a part of the spread of the gospel. I was talking with someone this past week where they were sharing that they're excited for one day that they know that they're going to meet people up in heaven that are there as a result of what they've done. Right? I mean, it's Jesus saves them. Amen? Like, we don't save them. But just think about it. We gave towards Lottie Moon where people are going to hear the gospel in India and China and other places throughout the world. We should gladly sacrifice to be a part of the spread of the gospel. When we leave this world, there's no U-Haul following us. We don't take our resources with us. When we leave this world, there's no rollover that goes to the next year, right? Just because you hung on to a little time doesn't mean you get to extend your life by that much time. It just doesn't work that way. We don't take our leftover time with us, but what we can do is while we're here is do what carries eternal value and give of what we have and who we are so that others can know Jesus and grow in their walk with Jesus and spend eternity with him and also with us in heaven. And we do that because of our love for them, church. The Macedonian churches, it says that they were eager to give. They were joyful when they gave sacrificially. Because they knew that God was giving them an opportunity to be a part of his mission. We don't deserve that. We don't deserve to be used by God, but he says, I chose you to use you. They were overjoyed to know they got to be a part of meeting needs and seeing people come to know Jesus and grow in their walk with Christ. They gladly gave to be a part of the spread of the gospel. We too should ask God for that heart. Amen? We should ask God, God, give me a heart to be generous with my time, with my resources, with my talents, with my abilities. All right, the last one here. I think. When thinking about generous giving, God uses our generosity to care for the church. This is what we see Paul talking about in verses 11 through 15. We don't have time to walk through all of that. But giving generously to care for those in the church. We see it. We see it across many churches right here in the text, right? Those in Macedonia, they're giving to care for others. Churches from many places giving to make sure that everyone was taken care of, each giving according to their own ability so that they could all come together and have their basic needs met, and so that all have the same access to God's word, all have the same ability to be taught and have the resources to God's word, right, to be able to live and serve Jesus. Guys, we get to care for one another and help meet needs of others through this giving, right? This isn't in our text this morning, and we're going to cover this more in our life groups this week, but Paul gives this church a model on what this looks like. How do we give? What should that look like? We already have a biblical principle of 10%. Guys, let me say this again. This is between you and God. You should sit down and have that time with God, and we're going to see that here in just one second. But 10% is that model that we have throughout the Bible. Look at what 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7 says. Each person should do as he has decided in his heart or her heart, not reluctantly or out of compulsion, so again, not because you're told to, right, but since God loves a cheerful giver. I believe this is a model of how we determine what we should give, especially in the church. Paul says each and every one of you should give as he has decided in your heart. You know what that means? It means this: as you spend time with the Lord and you talk with God about it intentionally, God, I need to do something, right? What should I give? What should our family give? You decide in your heart. You know what that word means? It means you have a predetermined plan of what your giving will look like. Are you with me? You have a that's what that passage means. You have a predetermined plan. It's between you and God, not you and me. I don't want to know. Right? It's none of your business what I give, none of my business what you give. Are you with me, church? Right? But it's between you and God, and we need to have serious conversations with him about that. Right? Paul reiterates, you don't want to do this out of a reluctant heart or out of being forced, but God wants you to give and be a cheerful giver. He loves that. Here's what it means. Here's what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean it's going to be easy. But we should have joy knowing God, our provider, invites us to be a part of what he's doing. He's asking us to love him and love others by generously giving. As a church, the Lord has brought us together as his church, and his grace is evident. His love is evident, right? How will we respond? How will you respond individually? How will we respond as a church? Let's pray this morning, guys. Father, we love